always exciting to be here with you. But to know that I'm following Alfredo makes it even more special. Because I know last week you heard a real mission talk. But can you imagine in Texas? We have a rock, and when you throw it in the water, it makes rings. Can you believe that we have that in Texas? And the rings get smaller and smaller and smaller. Because when you throw a rock in the water here in New York, what happens? The rock sinks, but the rings get smaller and smaller and smaller. They get what? Smaller. I'm amazed. In Bangladesh, they got it wrong. In India, they get it wrong. They think that the circles get bigger and bigger and bigger. But if you look at the waves get smaller and smaller and smaller. And we have this thought that missions is about halfway around the world. And yet, when we look at Acts, it says, when my power comes. And we have the bad habit of thinking, but that's for the missionary. That's for the preacher. That's for the other person. Instead of reading Scripture for what it is. When the power of God comes upon you, you will be my witness. And we've got to hear it. And we've got to see that while I don't like announcements, I liked the announcements I heard today because it was talking about how can we impact men? How can we impact college students? How can we impact children? And yet, as a church, you are doing many things well. But can you believe the Scripture is for you? Can you go with me to New Orleans? I went to New Orleans with a negative view. I reached the hotel and we're unloading the suitcases and a man is wearing a bracelet and it's WWJD. And I said, nice bracelet. He said, are you the one that's going to explain it to me? I said, yes, I am. He said, my sister told me that a man would come today and would explain what this means, and I've been waiting for you to come. He said, can we meet in 10 minutes? I'm on break. And 10 minutes later, I told him about what would Jesus do. And walking with Jesus daily. And he trusted in Jesus. Somehow, you've got to hear that story. Bruce went to New Orleans with a negative view. Bruce got out of his car, and Bruce just happened to know what those initials stood for. And somehow you think, oh, to do God's work, I've got to have a seminary degree, I've got to do, and that's the lie that we've got to dispel today. The church has to hear that God is waiting to work with people that trust in the power of God. When we look at that passage, it said, you will reach the community you're in. Brian had the kids start here and then go out and out and then to the furthest parts of the world. That's where your parents are. And here we are in this community. And we're hearing about missions. But I'm asking the question, how many of you are praying for somebody in your community? We talk about being a church that is mission-minded. But I'm convinced with everything that I am, if people are not praying for people in their local community, they don't care about Acts 1:8. How many of you can say, I can leave this and I can pray for three people that's in my community? Did you know that I can't do that? I can't name three people that are lost and they live in Buffalo. Did you think about that? That you have more power and authority than the speaker does. Because you can go to the throne of God and you can lift up three people by name and say, God, I want you to do the same thing that you did in that young man's life. I'm convinced with everything that I am, the reason I saw victory in New Orleans is there was a sister that was praying for a brother. I just happened to be the one that showed up and got to see God bring victory. How many of you can pray for three people? How many of you can pray for two family members that don't know Jesus? Uh-oh, I just caught you. I can pray because even though I'm a preacher, guess what? Some of my family doesn't trust in Jesus Christ. And I can still pray for my family. How exciting it is that as a church, if you pray for five people daily, church will see a difference. This baptism will have more impact because when the church is praying for people by name, we're going to start to impact the community around us. And what we've seen around the world is that churches that are doing this is exciting. And right now, I'm in a church that's like this one was many years ago. We just took a pastorate in Texas. And I need you to pray because I've got a large, large building, large education, and I've got less than 30 people. And we're praying that God would start doing the same thing that he did here. Casting a vision that we would reach our local community. I'd like for you to turn to Matthew, the 27th chapter, the 44th verse. In Matthew 27, verse 44. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Have you ever read that verse by itself? Here, two criminals are hearing more accusations against Jesus Christ than they are against themselves. And while they're on the cross, they are heaping insults on Jesus. Now, I know it doesn't happen in New York. But in Texas, when people are in a hard time, they lash out against everybody and everything around them. I know that right now there's not thousands of protesters gathering because they don't like the next president-elect in Buffalo. Wait, it is Buffalo that it's happening. So you do have people that protest up here. How many will it be? I don't know. How justified is it? I don't know. But I do know that Scripture is very honest in saying that all he heard was that the criminals were heaping insults upon Jesus. How many people like Jesus? How many people in Buffalo like Jesus? You know, they've said there's two things that people know Christians, and that causes them to not want to be a Christian, or it causes them to want to be a Christian. The way I act, the way I do. What do people hear from me? But I'd like for you to also look at Mark 15:32. In Mark, the 15th chapter. In verse 32. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down from the cross, that we might see and believe. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. A little different. There's a lot of people wanting a religion that will free them from the trouble they're in. We want to see a faith that is so exciting, so unbelievable, that it's going to rock the world. And the thieves on the cross also heaped insults. You're asking, why would mission talk be so much about insults heaped? And it's because I'm become aware that the church has to say, as an individual, what voice am I going to listen to? What voice do you hear that you can do it or that you can't do it? There's a lot of people that are so convinced, I cannot do things in community because I know the trouble that I've been in. I know my weakness. I know what I don't understand about Scripture. But more than anything, it's the preconceived ideal that we come with. I love Scripture. I love the fact that God allowed people to write the truth. And there's times that we are so broken, we're so hurt, that we can't hear anything positive. My Jesus on the cross. How optimistic would I be? How much could I hear? And so what I'm wanting this to be is a time that you really look at Scripture and yet you come away saying, God expects something more. Now let's look at Luke, the 23rd chapter. In Luke 23, verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. He wanted a religion. He wanted something that would say, all right, here's the trouble you're in. Here is a source of freedom. Here it is. You can have everything you've ever wanted right now. But does that disagree with the other passages? Because the other one said the criminals on the cross were constantly speaking negative and hurling insults. And then this one said, one of the criminals. And then in verse 40, but the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. How many people around you are crying for help? We as a church have said, they've got to say it in this order, they've got to do these things, they've got to do these things. And yet when I've experienced people around the world, when they encounter the truth of God, they cry out to God, and God hears their hearts. What was the first thing the criminal said? I deserve the punishment of death. Can you pray for your friends and your family that they would understand their true relationship between themselves and the one God? Can you pray that they will understand how their sins breaks the heart of God? Can you pray for your friends that they will ask for justice? That they will understand that Jesus is the only one that died without sin. Can you pray for them to cry out? You see, I'm amazed at what God does. I was in this strange place one time called New York City. I'm New York, the state. How many of you have heard of New York? And with my foreign accent, they needed my skill set. A church was getting new carpet, and they needed someone to help carry the carpet up the stairs to the sanctuary. And they recruited this little Texan to help with the task. We carried the carpet up the stair because they'd recruited enough strong guys. It was easy to do. And I asked the young man that was across the way from me where he was from, and he said, the Philippines. And he asked where I was from, and I said, Texas. He said, oh, Texas is the place that has the best fighting cocks in the world. Have you ever been to see that? I said, yes, I had. I forgot to explain that I was doing church outreach. And we began to talk about fighting chickens. Now you said, Bruce, you've talked about Matthew and Mark and Luke, but I don't remember fighting chickens being connected. But you know what God showed me? That was the key. And I said, oh, so have you ever invited your sister to go to the chicken fights with you? And he says, no, a woman would never go to a chicken fight. I said, why? He said, that's morally wrong. I knew that. I said, why is that wrong? And he started explaining morals to me. And I said, that's exciting. I said, because you're in a church right now and you're explaining to me the values of morals. Have you always done what God wanted? And he started getting quiet. And in a few moments, he asked Jesus into his heart. And one of the other missionaries that had helped carry the carpet said, I saw it. I still don't believe that you can start talking about fighting chickens and 5 minutes later be praying for Jesus to come into the heart. Are you amazed? Because as one that was amazed that I could be walking down a path in Nepal, up and down the mountains, and have a man come running to me and he said, "Are you a follower of Jesus Christ?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I found this," and he had found a few Bible verses. And he said, "I've been waiting for 5 years for someone to come that could explain if this was true or not true." And I saw the white man and I thought, this is one that could tell me about Jesus. You see, I had a lot of people praying for me. And I had the opportunity to tell him, there's more than these 5 verses, and I will get you a Bible, but the most important thing is the one you've called on will bring you eternal hope. He said, "Jesus, remember me." And we've got it today that if they don't say the right words in confession, the right words in acceptance, what happens? But when we look at this passage, he did not need baptism. He did not need the right words. He needed a heart that was crying out to God. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me." Somehow we've got to get back to the point that our neighbors, our family, these college students coming Thursday night, the men coming Saturday, all of these people need the truth of Jesus Christ. But what I want you to hear is there is a rock, and when it hits the water, it causes rings. And that rock is called faith. The church has to hear that God expects every single member to impact lostness. Oh, how Sherry and I thank you that you allowed us for 21 years the privilege to be in South Asia, in Bangladesh, in Bhutan, in Nepal, in India, telling people about Jesus. How we thank you that right now you're going to continue to pray as we go to this pagan place called Texas, that we will still share the gospel daily. But our prayer is that you will be that faith that will challenge the people right around you, and then the next and the next and the next, so that all will have an opportunity to hear, "Today you will be with me." You see, I'm still amazed that a young man from Japan could get in my vehicle in Nepal. And we could talk about motorcycles and mechanics, but we could barely do it because my Japanese is non-existent. And his English was not very good. And so for 2 hours, he rode in the truck with me, and I tried to talk to him, but utterly failed. After 2 hours, I put him on a bus, bought him a bus ticket to Kathmandu, and he came back and knocked on my window and said, "Me, Jesus, learn how." And I gave him my friend's phone number. He called them. They gave him a Japanese Bible, and they took him to an English church service in Kathmandu. They listened to the sermon. After the sermon, 4 people walked up and said, "Did you understand what you heard?" He said, "Not really." They said, "Can we tell you in Japanese?" And he said, "Please." He heard from those 4 the message, and he trusted in Jesus. He called me that night and said, "Do you know, is there a Korean Bible?" I said, "Why?" He said, I just led a Korean friend to Jesus, and I'm wondering, do they also have a Bible like you do in English and Japanese? When that rock is real, it hit the water. I want to hear his story someday when we get to heaven, because when you lead someone to Jesus your first day of believing, that's exciting to me. But what's God saying to you? Are you mission-minded if you send a team to India? Are you mission-minded if you pray for Texas and for the other countries? Are you mission-minded if your life is leading others to Jesus Christ? But my power will come upon you. I hope that every one of you leaves this place convinced that God wants to use you. Every one of you that trust in Jesus should be helping others come to Jesus. And that is the heart of Acts 1:8. We gripe about how busy we are. How many of us are saying, no one wants to hear about Jesus? They're all hurling insults. They're all negative. They're all broken. Why did Luke hear something different? Because he was listening to Jesus. Who are we listening to?